I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at ISMG Corp. Today I'm speaking with Phil Englert, who is Vice President of Medical Device Security at the Health Information Sharing and Analysis Center. We're going to be discussing the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's draft guidance for AI-enabled medical devices, which was issued in late 2025, and what it means for manufacturers and healthcare delivery organizations. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Marianne. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So, Phil, what is the biggest change that this FDA draft guidance introduces for AI-enabled medical software?
You know, so the major difference is a regulated medical device is meant to be stable, accurate, and repeatable, right? And AI changes over time. It evolves its output. And so they wanted to recognize that that's the case and put in some guidance so that manufacturers and healthcare, well, manufacturers mostly, but healthcare providers can take advantage of it as well, understand these additional risks.
So how does this guidance address cybersecurity risks in continuously learning AI systems?
Well, it's in AI, cybersecurity really becomes a patient safety issue, even more so than in traditional medical devices, except perhaps the life support stuff, right? But any software-enabled medical devices, you know, need to do that. AI introduces risk because the model evolves, and they want the manufacturers to understand that and address it over time, to understand how that evolves, to monitor for it. Any updates must be, you know, auditable and securely delivered.
And what kinds of products are we thinking about when we say AI-enabled medical devices? I know that, you know, typically AI has been kind of associated with like imaging devices and that sort of thing. What sort of emerging things are you seeing?
So we're beginning to see where it's data analysis and supporting clinical decision making, whether it's a clinical diagnostic or just providing the information that does that. The beautiful thing about AI is it can manage a lot of data at one time and process it at speeds that humans just simply can't. We're taking advantage of that for the benefit of patient care, but we also have to understand the risks of that. You know, whether it's data poisoning, whether it's drift, whether it's bias over time, you know, understand that that's a possibility and prevent that wherever we can.
So does the FDA expect companies to lock down models or allow them to evolve over time, and how do you secure that?
Yeah, so they don't need them to be locked down. As a matter of fact, by definition, they're not locked down. You know, they do evolve over time. But what they do want is a predetermined change control plan. They want that to be done in a known process that can be monitored, that can do that. So it has to be tightly controlled, tightly tested, and auditable, right? So the FDA is, you know, is allowing the innovation that AI presents, but they will not accept the chaos that it can also introduce.
So what should healthcare organizations be worried about when deploying AI-enabled medical devices under this framework?
You know, this is really the crux of the partnership between those manufacturers that are developing these products and those healthcare providers that will use these products, because they have a responsibility. The Health ISAC just put out a document called Policies and Safeguards for the Safe Use of AI that has some really excellent elements for governance, for the use of AI, for understanding what tools are there. The promise is so hopeful, right? But that does not come without, you know, potential harm. So staff need to understand that. Organizations should define which AI products they're allowed to use. Their staff should also understand that those tools are controlled so that the data is in the private domain and not out in the public domain, as so many of the publicly available AI tools are. And the tooling companies that make AI are pushing it into everything, so it becomes ubiquitous. And that's going to be hard for staff to recognize and understand, and so that's why the organizations should really make sure that their policies are understood, that their selected applications and tools are understood and used, and that they're followed, and that they can be audited over time.
So do you think this guidance goes far enough to protect patients from AI-related security or safety failures?
You know, I think it does. I think it recognizes that this is an evolving sphere of applications. I think we're learning as we go. But the other thing is, you know, it's an unusual human trait that we accept, let's say, inaccuracies from our clinicians that we find unacceptable with technology. And so we can anticipate that there'll be some failures. We're going to learn as we go. The algorithms will get better, you know, and we'll continue to introduce it. The important thing is to control the change, have that predetermined change control plan so that it can be monitored and controlled in a way that's recognizable and adjustable.
So how should companies balance innovation speed with FDA's expectations for validation and risk management?
Well, the real question is, can companies keep up operationally, right? AI happens, you know, at speed that humans can't comprehend. That's one of the great benefits of it, right? So we really need to recognize the dynamic nature, you know, the challenges in execution. The real test is whether organizations can operationalize that. Again, I think education, you know, and training and staff awareness are going to be essential, right? I think there's going to have to be a strong relationship between the producers of the AI and also the consumers of the AI, the healthcare organizations that use it, I think need to be even more tightly interlocked so that as changes happen, they're talking and discussing it, you know, and understanding the ramifications and really managing the emerging risks that may be presented.
And any sense of when the FDA might issue final guidance on this?
I don't. You know, they put this out, and it's out. It's the comment period, I believe, is closed. So they'll continue to work through that depending on how many comments there are. And I can't predict, but I would expect that this should finalize within about a year. I think it's pretty important to the FDA to get that done. But I'll check on that and follow up.
Sure. And one last question. You've touched upon the cyber risks. How does this sort of mesh with the added scrutiny that FDA has been doing about cybersecurity and pre-market? You know, will this carry over into that with when it comes to the AI aspects of medical devices? They'll be looking at any of the AI cyber-related risks that, you know, these products might have during the pre-market, you think?
This does not address specifically the cybersecurity elements of AI. It recognizes that those risks are introduced, and some of them naturally will be cybersecurity related, right? But if this is, I don't think this addressed the Mythos element that came out afterwards. But that's recognized, and that's part of what they're trying to get in front of, you know, is to ensure that folks, that manufacturers of these AI applications understand the risks, that they're monitoring for them, that they're working with their customers, you know, and controlling any updates, and that looking for, you know, drift or bias insertion or data poisoning, any of the elements that can come into, you know, the AI equation.
Well, thank you, Phil. I've been speaking to Phil Englert. I'm Mary Ann Kolbaczek-McGee of ISMG Corp. Thanks for listening.